Amen. Thank you, Christopher, and thank you, Jean, for reading that beautifully. Jesus, as he says this, is speaking to the crowds in the temple. And obviously the crowds are wanting to hear him, they're eager to hear him. But standing at the back of the crowds as he's speaking are the chief priests and elders of the people. And so Jesus is speaking to the crowds again, and the chief priests and elders are waiting to see if they can catch him out in some way. And his message is about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like this, people, describing it to them, also called the kingdom of God. And throughout the Gospels, his Jesus' gospel message is about the kingdom of heaven. What would life be like if God was in charge, as he is in heaven? What would life be like here on earth if God was your top priority? What would your life look like? And so many of Jesus' parables actually describe what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like, for example, a vineyard where every worker in the vineyard is paid enough for his or her needs. It's like a fine pearl that you find in the market, and you sell absolutely everything else that you own in order to buy that pearl. Or it's like you're stumbling across a field and you find treasure buried in the field, and so you sell everything in order to buy the whole field so that you can acquire that treasure. Or it's like a little tiny mustard seed that grows and grows and grows and becomes a big tree. Or it's like yeast that spreads and spreads throughout the dough. Jesus' parables describing what the kingdom of heaven is like, what it would be like if God were in charge. And here he's describing the kingdom, it's like a feast, a banquet, a festival, a celebration, a big party, a birthday, or indeed a wedding. And so the king lays out all his rich food and he invites his guests. He goes down the guest list, sends out the servants to invite them in, but they don't come. He sends the servants a second time, a reminder of an invitation. He's getting a bit irritated by this time, I think. And they treat his servants badly. In the previous parable, the previous chapter, the tenants in the vineyard treat the servants badly. They ill-treat them. They beat them, stone them, and kill them. And they do the same thing here. They mistreat the king's servants. And the king is enraged. What a strong word that is, isn't it? You wouldn't like him when he's angry, they say of the Hulk, don't they? Well, I think that's true of this king as well. Verse 7 says, he sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. That's strong, isn't it? That's tough. And then in verse 10, he opens up the kingdom to the whole world. Everybody says to his servants, go and invite everybody that you find. My first vicar when I was a curate and training, he was a Hebrew scholar. And he reckoned that one of the key things that we miss in the Gospels is that Jesus was sent first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but then if they wouldn't listen, and he warned them, if you don't listen, God will go to the Gentiles, to the other nations, the non-Jews, because if you don't listen, then God will open it up to others. And Jesus was quite stern and quite threatening to the Jews, the chief priests and the elders and the Pharisees. And so here in this reading, all the guests who are invited don't come. In fact, they do worse. They mistreat the king's servants, the prophets, and so on. So the king sends out his servants, anyone you find, he says. And so they go out and they invite all the people they could find, both good and bad. Isn't that striking? Not just the good people. The king invites absolutely everybody. It's open to all. What, even the refugees? Yes. What, even the poor people? Even the migrants? Yes. Actually, I think especially those, because Jesus was poor. Jesus was a refugee. He had to flee to Egypt when Herod killed the babies in Bethlehem. Do you remember? And indeed, some of the people that we're reading about in the news, some of them are Christians being persecuted for their faith. So I think this parable actually is very relevant, very modern. Open the doors wide is the message. And I suspect that to our surprise, we may even find ourselves blessed. For our day and age, for our culture, this is the big message to get out there. I found again and again that people, actually especially British people, expect vicars to judge them. They expect the church to reject them. Whether we've done anything to deserve that, I think you could argue back and forth, but that's what people think. Research shows that the majority of British people actually want to get married in church, but they don't dare ask. They know they're not regular worshippers. So they don't even ask, they go to hotels and elsewhere. Only yesterday, Jane and I were talking to a couple, exactly that position. They said, actually, we'd love to get married in church, but we didn't actually dare come and ask because we thought, no, we can't because we're not churchgoers, we're not regulars. They don't come to us, they don't phone, they don't ask. Babies, weddings, funerals, debt, marriage crises, spiritual searching, whatever it is, they'll try anything else except for the Christian church. I find that rather sad, actually. 4 weeks ago, there was a Mind, Body, Spirit festival in Mark's Tay Village Hall on the green out there. And there was every manner of mediums, incense, spiritists, crystals, clairvoyance, dream sticks, palmistry, henna tattoos, Buddhist meditation, you name it, everything was there. And it was packed tight with people. It was rammed solid for 2 days. People are searching. They're really seeking. I wonder how we can be more open, more welcoming. How can we actually get out there and get the message through to them? How can we do that? In verse 11, there's a funny little bit. The king came in and he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Who is that guy? He's a bit of a conundrum, a bit of a mystery. Has he tried to sort of enter by the back door on his own terms? Was he not invited? Well, I think he must have been, because they went out and invited absolutely everybody, good and bad. But he's not wearing wedding clothes. What does that mean? Tom Wright actually says that he thinks it means wedding clothes are the holy behaviour required in the kingdom of God. Well, I think Wright is right on this occasion. Because the other parables that Jesus tells indicates that there will be a sorting out. There will be an airport security check. There will be a judgment. But do notice, it's after the party has begun. It's after the king has made an entrance. I wonder if you remember the parable, the kingdom is like crops and weeds growing together in the field. And at harvest time, they're all pulled up and then they're separated out. Or like a fisherman's trawl net that catches everything, good and bad, and then the fisherman opens his nets and sorts out the good and the bad fish. So I think there are two stages to this, actually. I think Jesus is saying, here on earth, invite everybody, welcome everyone, as indeed Jesus did. Warn them maybe, but don't judge them. Not now, not yet. Jesus said, judge not that ye be not judged. The judgment time will come, but later. And Jesus will do the judging, because he's better at it. And he has divine authority as well. But for today, for here and now, fling the doors wide. Welcome everyone. Be open to all, even the disreputable sinners. Because I think St. Paul would say, some of you were like that, and some of us still are. Try this on for size. I found this welcome statement from a church in the United States, actually, and a number of churches have said, we like this. This welcome statement. Derek, perhaps you pop it up on the screen, would you? We extend a special welcome. We extend a special welcome to those who are single or married, LGBT or just confused, filthy rich or dirt poor. We extend a special welcome to crying newborns, to those who are skinny as a rake, or those who could afford to lose a few inches. We welcome you if you can sing like Pavarotti, or if you can't carry a note in a bucket. You're welcome here if you're just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of prison. We don't mind if you're more Christian than the Archbishop of Canterbury, or if you haven't been in church since little Jack's christening. We extend a special welcome to those who are over 50 but not yet grown up, and to teenagers who are growing up too fast. We welcome keep fit mums, football dads, starving artists, tree huggers, latte sippers, vegetarians and junk food eaters. We welcome those who are in recovery or still addicted. We welcome you if you're having problems or you're down in the dumps. Or if you don't like organized religion, we don't like it much either. If you blew all your money on the horses, you're welcome here. We offer a welcome to those who think the earth is flat. Work too hard? Don't work. Can't spell? Or because grandma's in town and wanted to go to church. We welcome those who are inked, pierced, or both. We offer a special welcome to those who could use a prayer right now. Those who had religion shoved down your throat as a kid, or those who got lost on the A12 and wound up here by mistake. We welcome tourists, seekers, and doubters, bleeding hearts, and you. Welcome home. I don't know if you like that. I think it's rather fun. Actually, let's just pray. Lord, help us, like you, to be open to all, welcoming to all, to open our doors and our hearts wide. In Jesus' name, Amen.